When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson. And Matt, the first week of free agency is pretty much in the books here.
Yeah, but just when you think things are calmed down.
Not even like the full week, but right. It's Friday.
It's Friday. But Keenan Allen got traded. Three quarterbacks got traded. A big draft trade already. I mean, like, things are happening left and right still.
So let's talk about, let's take a look here at the AFC North.
Okay.
And see
where teams... it's not worth us mocking it up today.
No, not today.
Yeah. We can do it next week. Or even looking at mocks.
Yeah.
Picks are traded.
What teams have added, what teams have gotten rid of thus far in free agency? So I'm looking here. CBS Sports has these kind of broken down.
Yeah,
here.
NFL.com actually does a good job with it, too.
Yeah. So for the Ravens, who they give an A- for their moves this year thus far. Here's what they've done. They've added Derrick Henry.
And I do like that for them.
They re-signed Justin Madubuike and Nelson Aguilar.
But did they franchise Madubuike or did they extend him?
They franchised him and then extended
him. Okay, so he's locked up. Yeah. I wasn't sure about that second part. Okay.
They have lost Gus Edwards,
yeah,
John Simpson, Geno Stone, Patrick Queen, and their long snapper, Tyler Ott.
Okay.
Queen, I mean, an A- for that.
And there's some guys like Zeitler still out there.
Yeah.
You know.
I get that the signings that they've made are big.
They are.
Big ones.
I mean, losing Edwards for Henry is a win for them, of course. They knew Stone and Queen were leaving a year ago.
Right.
I mean, they've drafted accordingly to
some degree.
They don't
have a replacement for Simpson.
They don't.
And they traded
what's
not on here is they traded Morgan Moses.
Yeah. And they also don't mention Odell's still up.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the receiver positions. Pretty light right now outside of Zay Flowers, Aguilar, and Bateman, which is okay, but it's not great. Not that Odell was great. I was trying to think of something else. Did they cut Marcus Williams too? I thought they did early in the process. Maybe I'm wrong on that.
I don't believe that they did.
And no, because we'd have been talking about him as a potential Steeler signing way back. So scratch that. So
he's still there. He's still Raven.
Okay, so they're still fine at safety. Their O-line to me is the concern.
Troublesome.
It is real troublesome.
You're down three of your starters right now,
and one of the remaining is Stanley.
Yeah.
You know, so it's Stanley and Linderbaum are the only guys retained from last year's starters. McCarry's good, and he'll probably end up being one of the starters.
Okay, that's three.
That's three, but I think Stanley's more like a half at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, he would rotate him out of games.
You can't go in and counting on him to be – he was rotating with McCarry.
Yeah, exactly. So McCarry's either going to be a guard or your right tackle, but he's not as good as the guys you played with last year.
And do you think Stanley can get through a full season?
That would really, really worry me. I mean, so – they're at least two linemen away from really putting together a starting group. They did make one pick. Remember the Voorhees kid from USC a year ago? He was the Zinter of that class.
Yeah.
You know, it was new, not as good as Zinter, but
I think he had an ACL, though.
They knew he wasn't going to play at all his rookie year, so you got him a couple rounds later. He's a pure guard. People talked about him like he could have been a second-round pick if he was clean. So maybe they're counting on him as one of the spots. Okay.
But it's unknown.
I mean,
I'm sure he hasn't done a lot of workouts for them.
No, right.
Or, you know, you didn't have a lot of tape to go off of. But
it's not a big deal, but I don't think they brought back Huntley either. I'm not sure who their backup quarterback is.
Yeah,
right,
they just signed Josh Johnson.
Okay. I guess that's good enough, but he's almost our age.
Yeah.
He's on his 100th team. Okay. I mean, I wouldn't give him an A-. I don't think Derrick Henry shot, which surprises me to no end. I thought he had a really good year.
He's also not what he once was, though.
No. He's not the best back in the league.
He's now human.
No, right. I mean, he was in a really rough situation last year and did pretty well. They're a good team. I don't think it's an A- offseason to this point, though.
Not to this point, no.
And they're picking late, of course. Yeah. And, you know.
But their draft will get an A+ no matter what.
So, no doubt.
The Bengals, key additions, Geno Stone. Zach Moss, Mike Gesicki.
Von Bell.
Key resignings, T. Higgins, Drew Sample, Cody Ford. They also did resign Von Bell. I don't look at that though as...
I think the safety thing is the best thing they did all offseason.
I mean, yeah. I mean, they basically got two new safeties.
Yeah, and one of which was only gone for a year, Von Bell.
Yeah.
So,
but he's old.
He is old. He is. But he's smart. And I think they're going to move Dax Hill to corner.
People are smart. That's how that works.
It was hard. Bengals offseason or Bengals season is easy to dismiss of, they went back a step because Burrow got hurt and he wasn't the same. But the defense took a massive step backwards, too. Like, that one was not very explainable. But a lot of it was because of the safeties. I mean, the more you dig into it, they asked their safeties to do so much, late rotations and all kinds of different assignments, that this time last year they scrapped both their starters and went with two new safeties, and that was an awful experiment for them.
Yeah.
So I think it is telling that they went out and got two veterans that are known for their intelligence. So
I think that was the entire problem, though.
I don't think it's the entire problem, no.
Because
but they do things differently.
Teams were running the ball at will on them last
especially
year.
When Reader got hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also don't think their defense is super talented. I mean, it's fine. They don't have a right tackle yet, though, right?
They don't have a right tackle. Jonah Williams signed a 2-year, $30 million deal. He's gone.
He's a Cardinal, yeah.
$15 million a year for Jonah.
I know. And then they cut Humphreys. I'd rather have Humphreys. But, I mean, I know that there's a contract stuff there.
But that got a B from CBS, just a straight B.
Okay. I guess.
Because the key departures were Joe Mixon. Well, they replaced him with Zach Moss.
That's probably an even swap at this time.
Awuzie, you didn't replace.
No, I think Hill's going to go to corner, though.
Yeah. And then Irv Smith is...
Him and Gesicki are the same, and they don't use them anyways.
Yeah.
So they still have a Holt right tackle, which probably easily could be their first-round pick. I mean, there will be somebody available. And Reader is now a Lion.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the plan is there, but I don't see one.
For Cleveland, the key additions are Jerry Jeudy.
Ugh. Very overrated.
And Jameis Winston.
Okay.
The key re-signings are Za'Darius Smith and guard Michael Dunn. That doesn't move the
needle. No, Dunn's a backup, yeah.
Key departures, Sione Takitaki, Anthony Weaver, or Walker, I should say, cornerback Mike Ford. They haven't lost a lot yet.
They haven't done much, period.
But they haven't done anything either. And Jerry Jeudy, to me, well, they redid his contract.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks
did
like
they extend him?
Well, it looks like what they did was kick some money into future years.
Okay.
As they've...
Because he's playing on his fifth-year tag.
He's playing on his fifth-year tag, and they lowered that number down to like $2.5 million or something like that. So it looks like they pushed some voidable years in there just to, to get
which is what they do. Their cash spending is always through the roof. But a lot of that's because of Watson.
But that doesn't
– It's not much different, really.
No, and they don't have a first-round draft pick.
They don't have a first, right. I'm trying to think if there's any other small moves they made. I don't think. I mean, the defense is going to be pretty close to being the same.
They got a B-plus for that.
They didn't really do much.
B-plus?
Jeudy, it doesn't matter if he was going to opponent or the Steelers hire. I mean, he is a very overrated player.
Yeah.
He's a wide receiver three, in my opinion.
He's a wide receiver three with a wide receiver one's attitude.
Oh, yeah. He thinks he's great, right?
He is. That whole incident last year with Steve Smith, where he's screaming and yelling at Steve Smith on the sidelines, just completely turned me off on that guy.
No, I hear you. And people think because he's got such quick feet and he's got all these YouTube videos and TikToks and stuff, that they think he's a great route runner. He's not. He's a very sloppy route runner.
For the Steelers, they get a B.
Okay.
With the additions of Russell Wilson, Patrick Queen, Dante Jackson, and they don't have...
I'm sure the picket trade isn't on there.
That trade's not on here, nor is the safety signing.
Okay.
The key re-signing, Miles Killebrew, departures, Mitch Trubisky, Chukwuma Okorafor, Deontay Johnson. So really, I mean, of the departures, the only one that you're looking at and saying, that hurts is Deontay Johnson.
Of course.
But you got a cornerback for him.
I mean, like, I think Armani Watts is a loss.
Your addition at quarterback.
You'd much rather have Wilson than Trubisky. It's kind of like Henry for Edwards.
Yeah. How is that different?
Right. Exactly.
And you added Patrick Queen, a second-team All-Pro linebacker.
Right. No, you definitely gained more than you lost.
I don't get why that's a B, and the Ravens are an A-.
We also haven't mentioned that Adams has been resigned. That made me happy. I thought he had a really good year. I think you're done at nose. I don't know if you're done at D-line. I think you're done at nose
Adams
types.
Can play either.
Yeah, same with Benton.
Yeah.
which I think is what they want from the position.
That's what they want, yeah. that flexibility.
Like, I don't know that they would draft Sweat now or you know, a 330-pound guy.
Yeah.
You know, I think they're more likely to take the Aurora.
Aurora.
Who had his day yesterday. Clemson.
Rook.
We'll call him Rook, yeah.
Yeah, Rook.
But I think that's the style if they're going to add a D lineman.
Use the force, Rook. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, grades are grades, and people,
they're
all subjective. I get it.
It's just like draft grades. I really don't think any grades matter. And, oh, by the way, it's like a poker hand, and some has all aces, and some has nothing in their hands.
Yeah.
You know, how well do you play your hand is more important to me. Jimmy Garoppolo just signed with the Rams.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense.
The Bills, we'll just go take a look at some of the other AFC teams.
Yeah.
Especially the contenders. They get a C-plus for signing Mitch Trubisky, linebacker Nicholas Morrow, and wide receiver Curtis Samuel. Also re-signing Deion Dawkins, David Edwards, Taylor Rapp, A.J. Epinesa, and Daquan Jones. But they lost Gabe Davis, Leonard Floyd, Jordan Poyer, Saran Neal, Deontay Hardy, Mitch Morse, Nyheim Hines, Cam Lewis, and Jordan Poyer.
I think they're going backwards. I wouldn't give them...
I don't know if that's a C-plus.
I thought you even said it was a B. I think it's like a C minus.
It's like five of the guys that were listed there are starters that they lost.
Like, I like the Daquan Jones resigning, and, you know, he's a quality player. But both your safeties are gone. Tre'Davious White's gone. Mitch Morse is gone. I really think this is like Diggs could be gone soon.
Yeah.
You know, I really feel like this is phase two of the Josh Allen era.
It starts
this year. It's going to be a lot different.
Looking here at Denver. Denver gets an F. An F.
Yeah.
Which I get because their key additions, safety Brandon Jones, defensive tackle Malcolm Roach, who could walk in here right now and punch us both in the face, and I wouldn't know who he is.
Yeah.
Their key re-signing, safety P.J. Locke. Same thing.
Yeah. Who's he?
Kicker Will Lutz and fullback Michael Burton. One of your key re-signings is a fullback.
And a kicker.
And a kicker.
And a safety we never heard of.
And a safety nobody's ever heard of. Key departures, Justin Simmons.
Sure.
Russell Wilson.
And not only is he a departure, but you're paying him a lot of money, too.
Yeah, you're paying him for somebody else to play him. Mm-hmm. Jerry Jeudy, Lloyd Cushenberry, and Josie Jewell. That's five starters.
I bet if we asked most listeners to name 10 Broncos, five of them would have just been locked out the door.
Brandon Jones, Malcolm Roach, P.J. Locke, Will Lutz, and Michael Burton would be five of the 10.
Right. The five that walked out the door, including Wilson, would have been those people's answers.
They would have been the dudes, yeah.
They might pick first overall.
They're going to be pretty bad.
Yeah, they're going to be pretty bad.
The Houston Texans. Everybody's raving about what the Houston Texans have done. They've done some good things.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
And then they made a strange trade today, though.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what they gained from that.
A two next year, I guess, was the big thing.
Yeah.
It was a Matt Williamson trade. What are you talking about?
It is, but I wouldn't have traded out of the top 25 today without knowing who's there.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, my one thought on it was maybe because they added so many of these names
they didn't think the rookie was going to...
Yeah, you know, let's kick some of our assets down the road a little bit for next year, maybe, you know, when they have less cap space.
So they acquired Joe Mixon, signed Daniel Hunter, signed Danico Autry, signed Aziz Al-Shaair.
Those three are the ones I really like.
Lonnie Johnson and Jeff Okuda.
Yeah. Okuda's worth a shot.
Yeah.
But those front seven players they add, Shaheer... Played for him under the Niners, you know, and Autry's a big power end. Daniil Hunter's a perfect complement to Anderson. Their front seven got noticeably better.
Their key re-signings, Dalton Schultz and Kyer Fairbairn. Okay.
Yeah, they're quality players. I mean, they're not super.
And they lost Devin Singletary, Jonathan Greenard, Blake Cashman. Well, they replaced all three of those guys with their signings.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd rather have Mixon or Singletary. Who cares, really?
Yeah.
Then maybe they'll use a third-round pick on a back.
The Colts, key addition. This is the Colts' key addition, Joe Flacco.
Which is a weird backup, too, by the way.
It doesn't fit.
Doesn't fit at all, except for the mentorship, the age, and he played pretty well last year. But he's nothing like Anthony Richardson.
Key re-signings, Michael Pittman, Tyquan Lewis, Zaire Franklin, Grover Stewart, Kenny Moore, and punter Rigoberto Sanchez. Key departures.
This is what the Colts do, though. Yeah. They re-sign their own. They don't go outside very often.
Gardner Minshew, Zach Moss, and Isaiah McKenzie are the losses.
Yeah. I mean, they're all homegrown talent.
Yeah.
That would get a little frustrating. I mean, I know the Steelers did that for a lot of years, but times have changed. I mean, you need to supplement your roster in free agency a little bit.
Jacksonville went out and traded for Mac Jones. They had a wide receiver, Gabe Davis, which I don't like that move.
This is probably my least favorite offseason.
Yeah. Mitch Morse, Darnell Savage, Eric Armstead. They landed.
I like the Armstead signing, yeah. but they probably gave him too much money. I haven't seen the contract.
It was like $17 million, something like that.
Wow. Okay. Well, he's 30.
Key re-signings, Josh Allen and Ezra Cleveland. Key departures, place kicker Brandon McManus, cornerback Darius Williams, and wide receiver Calvin Ridley.
Mm-hmm. I don't think their offense is much better.
I think they're just kind of moving chairs around.
I'm not sure what the – I always feel like they don't have a plan.
Gabe Davis for Calvin Ridley is not
a – is a loss.
Yeah.
Adding Morse is nice. He has some injury stuff, but that's okay.
Kansas City. Key additions. Punter Matt Araizi. I don't know how you call that a key addition because he's never kicked in the NFL before.
I guess he has never, huh?
Ever.
Yeah.
No. And tight end Irv Smith.
Mm-hmm. Marquise Brown they signed today.
Yeah. Key re-signings, Chris Jones, Legarius Sneed, Drew Tranquil. Key departures, Nick Allegretti and Willie Gay Jr.
Pretty much standard.
Keeping the status quo.
I love the Brown signing for them at receiver. I don't think, we were talking about this on my podcast, I think he's more of a nice upgrade over Hardman or Valdez-Scantling as opposed to the next Tyreek Hill.
No, you know, that's not, people were automatically comparing that, and I'm like, no, he's not Tyreek Hill.
No, he's not. But he's a lot different than Rice and Kelsey.
Yeah. For the Raiders, key additions, Christian Wilkins, Gardner Minshew, re-signed Andre James, and running back Amir Abdullah. That doesn't move the needle for me.
No.
Key departures, Josh Jacobs, Jermaine Illuminor, and cornerback Amik Robertson.
So I adore Wilkins. I think he's phenomenal, and he's a great locker room guy, and maybe their D-line now is really, really good, and it's finally a strength. I just think you could contemplate, for a team like that, would you rather have Wilkins or four starters? You know what I mean? Like four $5 million guys, a linebacker, you know, a nose, whatever.
Wouldn't you have rather kept Josh Jacobs and Jermaine Illuminor?
And added a starter.
And another, you know, somebody else and added a serviceable defensive tackle.
Yeah, Sheldon Rankins or you know somebody like that. Yeah, I think there's, for that team, they weren't one big ticket item away, is my point.
The Chargers.
Weird.
Key additions, Gus Edwards and Will Disley. Key re-signing, Aloy Gilman. Key departures, Austin Lekelar, Kenneth Murray, Gerald Everett, and Keenan Allen. Somehow they get a C.
And Mike Williams.
I don't know how that's a C.
I don't know how it's a C either. It sounds like Bosa and Mack will both be back under restructures.
That's great. They gave Mack like a 6-year extension.
I didn't know how they did it.
They
with
just
those
kicked
two.
The money all the way down the road.
Okay. I would have at least brought back one receiver. I would have kept a edge and a receiver, not two edges.
Not just empty my wide receiver room.
You're right. And count on Quentin Johnston. I don't want Justin Herbert for fantasy this year.
No, don't want to touch that.
They're going to run the ball 1,000 times, right?
The Dolphins, key additions, Jordan Poyer, Shaq Barrett, Jonnu Smith, Anthony Walker, Aaron Brewer, Jordan Brooks, and Kendall Fuller. I mean, some of those dudes are like 34.
I say there's some age there. It's another – they were so cash-strapped. I'm a little shocked how they got that all in and how they're going to get Tua signed, but – I mean, I know people can manipulate the cap, but they made a lot of changes. They also got rid of a lot of guys.
Key re-signings, Nick Needham and Robert Jones.
Okay, that's not a big deal.
Key departures, Robert Hunt, Christian Wilkins, Brandon Jones, Andrew Van Ginkle, Jerome Baker, Emmanuel Ogbah, and now, of course, they also lost the safety. The Steelers signed.
Oh, yeah. Elliott, right.
Yeah.
Is the center the only offensive lineman they brought in?
Yes.
I think so.
Yes.
And I know they lost Hunt. Wynn is still a free agent. Their line is frightening.
Yeah. I don't know if they could put five on the field right now and have NFL experience.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Yeah.
Connor Williams is up there, starting center.
Yeah. For the Patriots, key additions, Jacoby Brissett, Antonio Gibson, Austin Hooper, Sione Takitaki, and Chukwuma Okorafor. They have all kinds of money. And that's what they bought.
Yeah. I would expect a little bit bigger offensive splash than that. I didn't think they'd touch the D, and they really didn't. They brought back Uche. They brought back Duggar on the transition tag. And Gonzalez comes back next year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be an all-offensive
but
offseason.
But they re-signed Kyle Duggar, Michael Onwenu, mm-hmm. Kendrick Bourne, Hunter Henry, Jalen Reagor, Anfernee Jennings, Josh Uche, Tyrone Wheatley, the offensive lineman, and Christian Ellis. They just kept a lot of the – We like these guys that we won five games with so much. Let's bring them all back.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's a little odd. Like, how about shake it up a little? So on today's the podcast I did earlier today, if you go to the trade value chart, you know, draft trade value chart, the Vikings now two first rounders.
Yeah.
Almost exactly equals the third pick overall. You could sprinkle in something else. Would you consider that if you're the Patriots? Maybe you even get in the Fields market, you know?
Yeah.
Move
I would
back
consider
and
it.
Just draft offensive linemen and receivers and figure it out from there.
Yeah. Looks like the Jets are probably going to end up with
the vice president.
The vice president of the United States, or a candidate. Their key additions, Tyrod Taylor, John Simpson, Isaiah Oliver.
Okay. I thought they had another lineman. I thought they got a tackle recently, too.
Maybe.
Okay.
Their key re-signings, Greg Zierlein, Thomas Morstead. So their kicker and their punter, they kept those guys, and then they lost defensive end Bryce Huff.
Mm-hmm. No, they're pretty much running it back.
Yeah.
It does look like they've at least paying attention to the O-line, though, and they're set up to draft one.
The last AFC
quick
team.
Quick Jet note for you. Corey Davis is back in the league. Yeah. I think the Steelers could do worse than that. He blocks. He's former early pick. We haven't seen him in a while. I think you get him super cheap.
Yeah.
Just a name to throw out there.
The Titans. Key additions. Tony Pollard, Loy Cushenberry, Kenneth Murray, Chidobe Awuzie, Calvin Ridley, and Mason Rudolph.
Mm-hmm.
Key re-signing long snapper Morgan Cox. How come they didn't list the Steelers re-signing Christian Kuntz?
Yeah, right.
On there.
We didn't even mention that.
Key re-signing. Key departures, Aaron Brewer, Danico Autry, Azeez Al-Shaair, Sean Murphy Bunting, and Derrick Henry. This is a team that looked at it and said, you know what? We weren't good enough last year.
Yeah.
Let's get rid of all these guys and bring in a whole bunch of new guys.
Yeah. They cut, like, Andre Dillard today, too, which is an awful signing. And I think that's all saying. I think there's two things we said about the Titans, which I get both. I get very much. We are not Vrabel, Henry, a cloud of dust, tough team anymore. We're very analytical, and we're a lot more finesse, which I don't know if that's good or bad, but I think they're much more finesse than they used to be. And I think they said, we didn't put nearly enough around Will Levis last year to analyze him. Now we will. And I think, like, you know, Alt will end up there too or something like that. You know?
Yeah.
But they have receivers now.
They have receivers now, and they've got Mason Rudolph.
Who might play more than people think. I think that's a great landing spot for him.
No, I think it is, too.
Congrats to him. I think it's a great spot for him.
Absolutely. Let's get to a break. The Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with more right after this. Welcome back. I am Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson. And Matt... Patrick Queen was asked today at his press conference, like, what's it going to be like playing for the Steelers now instead of the Ravens? Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, he said, I like to be the villain, so I guess I'll be the villain. I would not imagine that, like, he and Deshaun Elliott will get a great welcome.
I would think not.
In Baltimore.
Right.
In fact, Deshaun Elliott said today that he was asked about that, and he said, yeah, I got a text here from Lamar Jackson, and I haven't opened it up yet.
It's probably not like, hey, best of luck. Yeah, right. No, that's interesting. There was a lot of movement within the division. Geno Stone.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
You don't usually see a lot of that.
No.
But
more
this year than maybe in a long time.
Yeah. I'm not sure exactly. We do a mailbag every Thursday, and someone asked that question. Why do you think it's been so much? And my first response was because you know the players so well. You game planned against Queen for years and years. You must have had respect for him. And the question was phrased, do you think players do that so they can get back at their old team? I'm like, maybe. They mostly change teams because they usually pick their team based on money. I mean, more often than not. But familiarity with the division, I think, is attractive to the team. And the team knew Elliott and Queen better than they would most.
You know, when you're looking for a new team as well, I think there's some familiarity with the style of play.
Yeah, absolutely. And then AFC North is a little different than the other divisions.
And that's one thing that both of those guys said today, like, hey, look, particularly Elliott, he's like, look, I played, because he played in Detroit 2 years ago, played Miami last year. He goes, I'm getting back into the AFC North. He says, I understand this is a different style of football.
Sure. I mean, I don't think that's lip service or Coach Tomlin after an AFC North game. Well, that's AFC North football. People get tired of hearing that stuff, but It is a little different. Everyone in the division admits it.
They're all physical.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, even the Bengals, you look at the Bengals, you think, that's a finesse team.
Look at their line. They're big guys. I mean, they're never going to have a little scat back either. You know, they're a big physical team. I mean, the Big Ten's different than the SEC. It's better, different than the Big 12, et cetera, et cetera. But, yeah.
And I also think, too, Matt, that there's something to the, you know, we talked about this all the time, that the Steelers and Ravens are often interested in the same, not only the same type of players, but the same players.
Right. I think their scouting system and values coming out of college and through the pros are very similar.
Yeah.
So you're going to be after the same guys often.
You know, we've seen we've seen it go both ways more recently. Like, you know, we saw Wormley, the Steelers make a trade for Chris Wormley. Mm-hmm. Obviously,
which was strange, yeah.
They liked Chris Wormley. We saw last year, you know, the Ravens go out and they get Arthur Millett.
Like, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of similarities there.
100%.
Some of that, you know, some of that animosity between the two is because they are so similar.
Oh, I think so too. I mean, it's physicality, it's strong leadership. I mean, it's the head coaches are 1 year apart in their tenure, and both have been extremely successful. I think it's not jealousy. I think it's respect. You know, I mean, between those organizations, 100%. And you know, I don't think it's an accident that your last game of the year was against the Bills, and Mitch Morse gets released. We just game planned against him. We thought he's good enough. Bring him in. You know, like. Any edge you can get in the scouting world is great. I mean, said the same thing when they drafted Pickett. They're going to know more about Pickett than anybody else. You know, did it work out exactly as we wanted? No, but that's any edge you can get or any bit of information you can get upon these guys is great.
Yeah.
So real quick, like, you know, just from a scouting perspective, as opposed to your area or your pro scout that was in charge of the Ravens getting grades on Queen. Well, your entire offensive staff did, too, twice.
Right.
You know, so there's more eyes on him throughout the course of the year and game planning against him, strengths and weaknesses. Boy, he was hard to play against.
Yeah, I mean, you have that knowledge, that inside knowledge, because you did game plan against him twice a year.
It's very familiar.
And you saw him early in the year, and you saw him late in the year. Like, oh, okay, he still looked good, you know.
Yeah, he's holding up well. That's the one thing we've mentioned about him, too. He's been unbelievably durable.
Really durable, yeah. Really durable. The guy... The last two seasons played over 1,000 snaps in each of the last two seasons.
Yeah. And he's also very young for his experience.
Yeah. He was asked today about the whole thing because I guess one of the radio stations in Baltimore went on this diatribe and said that, you know, Roquan Smith had made Patrick Queen, made him a better player, and that's why he got paid. And the Ravens won't miss him at all and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And apparently Queen saw this and kind of clapped back at them and said, hey, look, I learned. And he said today, I learned from Roquan Smith.
I would hope so.
I learned a lot from him. I learned, you know, how to be a better leader. I learned how to be a better communicator.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And communication, I think, is, you know, one. I'm ready to do this on my own now.
Yeah. I mean, again, if someone's going to come in and help you get better, take it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't look at that as a negative at all. I mean, that's one of my questions.
He's a high – there aren't that many high-pedigree inside linebackers in today's NFL.
No.
At most, every year, there's one taken.
Yeah, give or take, right. Yeah. Right. I mean, less and less than ever. People are realizing they have a tough acclimation period. And physically, he checks every box.
Yeah. Now you've let the Ravens
– groom him. And
groom him and get him ready to play.
Yeah.
Now you get him – he's reaching his physical peak.
Yeah.
And his mental peak, more importantly.
100%.
Understands how to play, and you've kept him in the same division.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to play against these teams.
Do you think he knows how to handle Lamar a little bit better than the
average Bear?
100%. Like, he's played against Burrow a ton, and he's played against the Browns a ton, and maybe he even chips in and says, has some critique for the Steelers' offense, you know, I know it's a different offensive coordinator, so that might not even apply, but... Yeah, I think, again, the familiarity is great. You're getting him at this peak time. And he does need to show that he can be the green dot guy and survive without Roquan or thrive without Roquan. Of course he's going to survive. But, again, I don't think that's like Alvin Harper and Michael Irvin, you know, where the one guy gets doubled all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, they're linebackers. I mean, if Roquan missed a game, sure, Queen would have been just fine.
Yeah. In fact, Roquan did miss the last game of the season against the Steelers. He sat that one out. Queen played
and
had a nice game, and, you know,
I think he'll be missed from that defense. I mean, one of the beauties of that defense were their safeties and linebackers. The spine of their defense was phenomenal. That's why they did so well against the Niners and, you know, why McDonald's in Seattle was a head coach.
And I really think there are a lot of similarities between the two defenses in terms of their attacking styles. They're mm-hmm. not going to sit back and let stuff happen. Roquan Smith will be blitzing this year.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to do the things that he did well. Patrick Queen, I should say.
We talk about blitzing linebackers, but he's a very good pass rusher. He has a variety of moves. McDonald helped. He devised a lot of stuff, but same with the Steelers staff.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he has like 9 sacks over the last 2 years.
I think it's 8.5, second most for inside linebackers in the league. He will get after the quarterback. He will play. And his coverage has gotten better.
That was a knock on over the course of his career. It's gotten better and better. Range has never been an issue, none of that kind of stuff. Physicality has never been an issue. In terms of blitzing, he's the type of linebacker that if you're going to leave him isolated, if you're just going to have a back deal with him, it's a major disadvantage for the offense. Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. So you got to do more than just that.
Yeah. And he was asked today about, you know, what do you know about Ryan Shazier? He said, look, I watched a lot of Ryan Shazier.
Oh, did he?
Know what a good player he was, and I'm here to replace him.
Yeah.
Like they've been searching.
They've obviously been searching since Ryan's unfortunate situation. I think they got their guy now, you know. And this may not even matter to them, but Queen's so young, he's probably going to get a nice third contract someday.
I would think so because he's 24 now. He signed a 3-year deal here.
Mm-hmm.
If that works out, you extend him again.
Still back on the market at 27, 28-ish, you know, right, yeah. So I think he's got a bright future, and I did not see that one coming.
Yeah.
Some people on Twitter have mentioned it. You guys didn't think Patrick Queen was worth their time. I thought he was going to get $5 million more a year than what he got. Right.
Thought he was going to get ridiculously paid. I just wonder if he took a little less money than maybe what he would have gotten somewhere else.
Possibly.
To stay here in the AFC North, which he mentioned, play for Mike Tomlin and a team that in a winning organization, which he mentioned. Mm-hmm. And to be the man.
Yeah, I'd say it's a really good situation for him. You know, you definitely get out from Roquan Shadow and all that stuff, too, and play against him directly. Great linebacker history here, great defense history here. This crowd's going to eat him up, too.
Oh, yeah.
So he's going to be fun on backs and backers, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Against Najee and those guys.
That was the other thing. He was mentioned, was there anybody with the Steelers – when you were playing for the Ravens, was there anybody that you developed a real rivalry with?
Because
he mentioned that he did know Najee Harris from their SEC days together.
And so they're close to the same age and butted heads there,
But he said Jalen Warren.
Really?
He said that guy, I hated playing against him because he's low to the ground, but he plays physically. And somebody said, well, geez, can't wait to see you guys in backs on backers. And, that was...
yeah.
Actually, he didn't call him Jalen Warren. He said Mr. Warren.
Oh, wow. That's funny. Sounds like Queen's a pretty personable guy, too.
Yeah.
I mean, his interviews were good. And I love that you mentioned, too, that what he learned from Roquan was mostly above the neck and the communication stuff. That was a bit of a knock on him early in his career, too, is, he wasn't the green dot guy, the communicator. And I don't feel whether green dot or not, but...
That's tough for young linebackers.
It's really hard. It's part of the like a quarterback.
You're learning the defense it's yourself, and now you're asking, okay, you're not only going to learning the defense, but now we want you to call it.
Now you got to call it and line everybody up right. Yeah. And, you see those linebackers go up to a defensive lineman who's in a three-point stance and tap him on the butt just to move 6 inches this way because they have a feel of what's coming. And, you start to get to that point as a linebacker, now you're talking,
Yeah. So I think he'll be a good – I think – everybody, all the guys that they've added thus far, I think, will be good additions. I think they make them a better team now. Because remember, the big thing about the Steelers going into this offseason, they really weren't going to lose anybody in their starting 22, unless they wanted to. Well, apparently they wanted to with Deontay Johnson. That opened up another hole, I get.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Peterson. Which he was on yesterday. He was on NFL Network and said the door's not closed.
I was going to say, I wonder if you could call him and Allen Robinson back, offer him a 1-year deal that's a lot more friendly. Because I don't think those bridges were burned. I just think they were high quality.
We can't pay you what but
that was really obvious with both.
We can bring you back, and you guys liked it here.
If we still think you have football left in you and give you a 1-year deal, then be a locker room leader. And not sure how we'll use you, but we're going to use you.
Yeah. So That would be interesting, though.
That would be interesting,
because
yeah.
You've added some Queen's an LSU guy.
Mm-hmm.
Dante Jackson's an LSU guy.
Yeah. Hadn't thought about that. Peterson, obviously.
Peterson's an LSU guy. Like, okay. And these guys were LSU was a...
Oh, it's a powerhouse. Yeah.
Powerhouse, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Especially at that era, right. I mean, they played with... I don't know if they'd overlap with Burrow or not.
Not...
He's a little younger than those
He's
guys.
A little younger than those guys.
The best, when they won the national title, I'm talking about the Justin Jefferson years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they would have played with, like, Chase and...
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the secondary when Dante Jackson was there, was Mills, who was the other cornerback? I just looked this stuff up the other day.
Hmm.
They had four guys in their starting secondary. We're all NFL
guys.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously a great school to go get people from, too.
Yeah.
Super competitive. It's at the Bama level, basically.
Jamal Adams.
Yeah,
you know,
all these
guys, they, you know, really for a while there, LSU was defensive back you.
I remember when Peterson sat down with us, he started talking about that. It's why he didn't go to Florida State.
And he was the dude that started all
that.
He was
the one that started. He didn't want to follow Deion and those guys. He wanted to be the Deion, and he was. You know, Honey Badger, and there's been a long list. Stingley, you know.
So, I think they're a better team now than they were a week ago.
Yeah, except the receiver situation.
Well, that's fine.
Tenuous.
I mean,
right.
I think the way that they want to play football, though,
mm-hmm.
I don't know that you need 17 receivers running around out there.
Well, I think they're going to be 11 a lot less than they were. I think that's pretty apparent. I mean, there's no question about it.
And they're going to do something at receiver.
Oh, that's coming any second now, I think.
You know, maybe it's an upgrade. Maybe it's even if it's a step backwards a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with that because, I think they're going to draft one.
Yeah, as long as it's open to the draft. Yeah. Right.
And, B, again, I think they're going to run the football. I think they're going to run the snot out of the football.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I don't know if the second starter will be as good as Deontay or not.
But I know that they've upgraded at linebacker.
Oh yeah.
I know that they've upgraded at the other cornerback position.
Yeah.
I know they've upgraded
Peterson.
I know they've upgraded at quarterback.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And I know that they've upgraded the safety position.
Yes. Well, I think all those things are true. And I think center you can question and receiver you can question.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I think that they will upgrade center.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless
of time.
Mason Cole was not good last year.
No. I mean, there's almost nowhere to go but up.
Right.
To be very honest.
Yeah.
I mean, good guy and all that, but he's going to be a backup next year somewhere.
Somewhere,
yeah. I mean, he's not going to be a starter.
So whatever you do there is likely to be an upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
And, if they have to take a half a step back at receiver, that's fine. If they go out and get Stephon Diggs, that's not a step backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a step forward.
Especially if you use a second-round pick on a young guy that has all the upside in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You go get Ladd McConkey or Ricky Pearsall or,
mm-hmm.
Roman Wilson.
There's a lot of options.
Okay.
A lot of options. Yeah. No, I think you take advantage of a rich receiver draft, and that's definitely going to happen.
Yeah. So, we'll
see. I mean,
even
some of these mid-round picks that they now have more of all of a sudden, you'll get a decent one in the fourth round.
Yeah.
It's not a bad place to show.
Well, then they've got two third-round picks.
Yeah, I guess that.
You can get one in the third.
We might have to go
that
over.
Every time we've done a mock draft, when we get to that pick at 84, we're like, well, there's like three different ways we could go here. There's a bunch of different players that we like
here.
It's
always a nice cluster, yeah.
Well, now they get
two
of those
picks. They're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Right. And we always like those 2/4 as well.
Yeah.
I
like 2/3 better.
I like 2/3 a lot better. Yeah, they're gradually inching up into the sweet spots of these drafts too.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Let's get to another break. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. We'll be back to finish up the show right after this. Well, Steeler fans, it's been an eventful day,
mm-hmm.
and certainly one that I think a lot of people will remember. And of course, you can get all your latest sideline apparel, hats, jerseys of your favorite players. Get your authentic memorabilia, custom items, and exclusives that you can only find directly from the team at the official Steelers Pro Shops. Or you can visit shops.steelers.com. Or, of course, you can go to Acrisure Stadium, Grove City Premium Outlets, or Tanger Outlets to do that as well. And you may want to go get a Russell Wilson jersey. You might want to go get a Patrick Queen jersey.
Yeah, maybe even Elliott.
Maybe a Jordan,
Yeah.
So, any of those. They also signed a punter this week. Forget about that.
True.
Cameron Johnson.
Talk about spots you upgraded in.
There's another one.
I mean, that's
another
upgrade.
Yeah.
I mean, you got top 10 type punter, from what I understand, against really one of the worst punters in the league last year.
He wasn't a weapon. He just wasn't a weapon.
No.
And now you've got a guy that can be a weapon there.
Yeah, he's reliable.
Cameron Johnston, I was looking at like 45% of his punts last year downed inside the opposing 20.
Yeah, yeah.
It's ridiculous. Like, of all the guys, he didn't have
a lot of fair catches, too.
He didn't have the most kicks inside the 20. He had 30, which was like tied for 6 or 7. Okay, something. Yeah. It was in the top 10. But he did it on 66 punts. All the other guys who...
Panther punters.
Yeah,
they
were
all
the other guys who were ahead of him in terms of number of punts downed inside the 20 had like 75-plus punts.
So his percentage
like,
was
maybe the best in the league. You know, that's a weapon.
No, that's a weapon.
Especially when your defense should be pretty good.
Yeah, if you're a run-the-ball play defense team, you better be great on teams, and both your kicker-punter should be really strong. And now... it's not my specialty at all, but I'd be shocked if there's many teams out there that have a better kicker-punter combination than Steelers.
It's a pretty good one.
Yeah, I mean, it's really good. Yeah,
really good one.
And it's worth the money.
Yeah, I mean, if you're
going to sleep well at night, you know?
You're going to play football that way, then play football that way.
Exactly, exactly. So I think they told us that quite a bit. It's a small thing, but it'll round out after camp. But the core special teamers are still to be determined a little bit. They kept Killebrew.
But they kept Killebrew.
That's a
that
great
was huge.
Start. Yeah. You know, will Boykin be back? You know, I don't know. You know, so I think that group's interesting too. Pierre might not be back. You know, some of those guys that have been core special teamers for you, but that changes every year.
But you got your main guy. Like you build out around Killebrew.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the all pro. There was one.
The long snapper too.
And you extended your long snapper.
Yeah. Some of your four most important special teamers are locked up.
Yeah, and that's huge. Final thoughts on the Kenny Pickett trade, Matt?
I was shocked. To be very honest with you, I think there will be another shoe to drop. I mean, maybe they're excited to get Tannehill in here or somebody like that. I don't know. But I get it. I think it's a lot more about you were the starter, now you're not the starter, you're a younger guy, it's not your time to get demoted, but it's better for you and the team to have you elsewhere, you know? And,
yeah.
If I'd be the Eagles, I'd be pretty excited to get him, though.
Yeah, they get a year, basically, to...
They get a year.
Look at him, decide whether they want to pick up the fifth-year option.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the Steelers, you know, it's...
I bet they looked at it. I think they're telling us that they hadn't planned on picking up the fifth-year option.
Well, I mean, I think...
could have been determined.
That would have been determined by what happened this year, but I think when they made
the
decision...
It had to be the starter.
Yeah, I think as they talked to Russell Wilson and got a better feel for the situation, I think they just looked at it and said, you know what? He's the veteran guy. He's the 13-year veteran.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that's won Super Bowls.
Yeah.
It's only right that we give him first opportunity to be the starting quarterback.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's number one on the depth chart. Kenny Pickett's number two, and I just don't think Kenny Pickett could deal with that.
Yeah, and if that offended him, then your skin might have been a little too thin anyways. Because
might not have been the guy that we thought you were.
Yeah, I mean, Wilson deserved that to me. I mean, I think his track record implied...
That's like bringing in Tom Brady. I'm not saying Russell Wilson's
Tom
Brady, but that would be like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers bringing in Tom Brady a couple years ago and saying, telling, you know, the
whoever the young
Kyle Trask,
time,
hey Kyle, we're going to give you a shot. You're on equal footing with Tom Brady.
It's just not how things work. I mean, I think you hire Wilson, you have the discussion with Wilson that, hey, this is a really fortunate financial situation for us considering what Denver's doing for you. The least we can do is give you first crack at this thing because Kenny's thrown 13 touchdown passes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not enough.
Yeah. The winning was nice, and I'm not going to talk.
Kenny Pickett won. Right.
And no matter what you think of that, he found ways to win games in big moments.
Mm-hmm.
But
I would have loved to seen him in this offense.
Yeah.
And yeah. I mean, part of me is a little discouraged that we don't get that opportunity.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice, though, to not have to win games that way?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I
mean, be up 10 points in the fourth quarter and just run the football, run the clock out.
Yeah, you throw 25, 30 touchdown passes, the games go a lot. The script changes an awful lot than 13 or 15 or whatever, you know?
Yeah,
for the season.
We'll see if they're able to better do that moving forward. But big week of change.
Big week change
for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll see what else comes to fruition. Maybe there'll be some more moves over the weekend here.
I'm counting on it.
Yeah, as we head into, remember, free agency is only like, technically.
It's only been open for 48
hours. 48
hours. Right. It's been 50 hours is how long it's been open. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
It doesn't seem that way because everything starts Monday. But by next Monday, when our next show rolls around, some different things will have happened around, not only in Pittsburgh, but around the league.
Like Keenan Allen got traded.
Yeah.
The Vikes now have two first-round picks.
By the time we roll back around here on Monday, maybe Stephon Diggs will have been traded.
I just have a feeling that, like, 6:02, he's going to get traded somewhere. Yeah. You know, like, this is how it works.
Yeah, you know, we'll see. We'll see where that ends up at. Just to remind everybody, so next week we're on our Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule again.
I got a lot of people saying, you guys should have been 5 days this week.
We should have been 5 days this week.
No, I think about it. Right.
The following week, because of the owners' meeting, we'll be down at the league meetings. Mm-hmm. We'll be on from 10 to 12 on each of those days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in Orlando. We'll have some good guests on. We'll probably talk a lot about some of these moves that have been made around the
big
league.
Big picture stuff.
Big picture stuff and you know, some of the rule changes, things of that nature. The Steelers putting out the rule change along with some other teams. The Steelers proposed moving the trade deadline back 1 week. Five other teams proposed moving it back two more weeks to week 10.
Good. I like it. I'd vote for either one.
Well, I think the fact that you had six teams propose that tells me that there's a good
something's
going to happen with that. But that's going to do it for our show today and for this week. So for my partner, Matt Williamson, for Justin Miller here on site, keeping us on the air, I'm Dale Lally. We appreciate you listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.